B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's our Tommy Gunn 2.0 show.
Happy New Year from 97.5 The Fanatic.
Happy New Year, everybody! Sixers are coming back tomorrow night. That's Saturday night, 7 o'clock, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Flyers-Bruins drop the puck. Sunday, Flyers-Bruins drop that puck.
3 o'clock Sunday afternoon.
So we're turning the page on what has been a crappy 2020 year, as we all 2020 sucks, as we all know. So today we turn the page, 2020 2.0 show we're doing right here. My name's Mark. That's Bob. That's Jamie. Pat Egan running around. We're going to have a parade later in the program, a two-man parade. Mm-hmm. One mummer, one baby new year.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Then we're going to have our own version of the Winter Classic with two of the ladies from Delilah's Gentlemen's Club and Steakhouse.
We got that.
We got that. And you know what? To talk a little bit more hockey right now, we got some great prizes we're giving away as well.
Yeah, we are.
But on the line with us right now, from the NHL Network, you know him as number three. For the New Jersey Devils, a Stanley Cup champion three times over, one hell of a defenseman, Ken Danico joins us right now from the NHL Network on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Ken, how are you?
I'm doing fine, guys. How are you this morning?
Great.
Doing great. You know, as a lifelong Flyers fan, Ken, it's an honor to speak to you. I always respected your game, man.
I appreciate that, and I tell everybody, they ask us, who is your biggest rivalry back in the heyday, and everybody thinks the Rangers because proximity, but from 98, and it was in the early 90s, from 95 to 2003 till the end of my career, it was always the Flyers we had to get through, and somehow, some way, we had their number, and especially in 2000 when they had us down 3-1, but those series were so evenly matched. It was a battle. I loved it. That's what the playoffs were about, rivalries. We didn't like each other, and it was always the Flyers we had to somehow get through to go on to be fortunate enough to win those cups.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, I grew up in that era with, obviously, John LeClair and Eric Lindros, Eric Desjardins, a defenseman like yourself. Like, those were my years, right? But and I suffered through those as a Flyers fan. Is there one game, in all the games, though, is there any real specific incident that really sticks out in your mind when you do think back to that rivalry?
Well, it's hard not to think about the when Eric Lindros came back and the big hit by Scott Stevens after he'd been injured and came back. Sometimes he was coming back too soon, and then the big bone-crushing hit at center ice. And nowadays, yes, you can't make contact with a head, but it was applauded back then. Mm. But I cringed a little bit back then, even in that series. And you do anything and whatever it takes to win, but it was a shoulder right to the chin. Eric came through the neutral zone. And even as an opponent, you know, it made me cringe, like I said, a little bit. Yeah, I just didn't want to see anybody get rocked to that extent at the time, especially because of the history he had with concussions. And talked to Eric later on, played in the Hall of Fame game a couple of years ago in Toronto. And a real good guy and dominant forward and a guy that kind of changed the game as far as a power forward and everything. But unfortunately, that was a devastating hit for him. And his career wasn't long enough, but he was that good to be a Hall of Famer in the short time because he was that effective as a player and a unique player with his size and skill.
Speaking with Ken Danico, I don't want to spend too much time on the past, but I do got to ask you about, do you guys still give it to Patrick Elias for getting stoned by Brian Boucher on that remarkable save?
Well, Patrick scored a pretty good goal after that in 2000.
Nobody remembers.
But having said that, of course we always rib each other. I mean, hey, that's what it's all about, but Patrick Elias did some pretty good things for the Devils as well. And I will say, and I know we're going to move forward, but so I've been preaching on NHL Network, fellas, and even though the Flyers are my big rivalry, there's something about this Flyers team, which I am shocked from the start of the year because I didn't think they'd be this good, that I'm one of the guys, and I hate predictions, and I've kind of predicted them as my dark horse. I know they had a great regular season before the stoppage. To go to the Stanley Cup Finals, I think they're that good, and they finally get it, how you play as a team and structure under Coach Lane Vigneault, this is a team that's going to be real dangerous, in my opinion. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on with you guys.
No, I mean, Ken, we had heard on NHL Network, which, by the way, extensive playoff coverage right there. You'll be a part of that. It includes the NHL tonight. It also includes seven qualifying rounds of games, obviously, and then also beginning this Sunday, 8 p.m. with the Blue Jackets and the Maple Leafs. I know you've been singing the Flyers' praises. I didn't know you were that high on them. Now, you mentioned Alain Vigneault. It was like love at first press conference with Alain Vigneault here in Philadelphia. Because what we love in Philadelphia is accountability. We want players to be held accountable by the head coach of the hockey team or whatever team here in Philadelphia. What is it about Alain Vigneault and his style that just works so well wherever he goes?
Well, I love what you just said, accountability. I mean, you can't win without it. As far as going all the way, the Flyers have had some good teams over the years, but a little too loosey-goosey, I'd like to say, when you have to tighten up, when you have to have structure. But that's what Alain Vigneault has implemented, is that structure throughout the lineup. They rely on four lines. In the past, if Giroux and Voracek didn't get the big goal, well, a lot of the time, they were not going to continue to advance. They'd have some, you know, decent playoff series. They'd make the playoffs and had some high-potent offense. But you've got to be able to play on the other side of the puck. Giroux, Voracek sacrificed some numbers. Everybody looks at offensive numbers. But now they're more complete players and leaders and get everybody else involved. You need four lines and six defensemen and good goaltending, which it looks like they finally have a nice tandem with the young Carter Hart, the young Phenom as well, if he can handle the pressure, which I believe he can. Now they're a balanced team, and that's the and Vigneault wants it out of everybody. It's not just relying on a few players and coming from teams that have won Stanley Cup championships. Your star players have to buy into what your coach is preaching, the system, and that means you might sacrifice a goal or two here. And that's what I'm seeing from the Flyers team. They play like a team. They play like a unit that relies on everybody. And I think that's what Vigneault's brought to this team right now this season.
Ken, to me, hockey players more than any other sport are guys that just put their heads down and play. You can put them in a rink anywhere and they're going to play, and whether there's 20,000 people there or like the current situation, nobody there, I don't think it'll change much. Do you think that the best team will come out of this and win despite what they're going through, like playing in front of nobody? Do you think it has an effect?
I think it's a unique situation and an adjustment. I mean, players love to play in front of their fans, and we feel like every sport that we have, the greatest fans in the world are diehard hockey fans in every city, whoever you root for, whatever fan base. Having said that, you're absolutely right. Hockey players, they're ready to go here. You miss 4 months of the season, and I use the example of being in lockouts when we won the Cup in 95 and played a 48-game schedule. It's about just getting it going again. We're hockey players. That's what we're bred to do. And they're dying to go at it. But you're going to have to – this is where coaches and their coaching staff are going to come into play here, as far as you need a lot of self-starters on your team, guys that have a little more inner drive and motivation, because you got to ramp it up quick. And certainly it's not going to be easy without fans, but the National Hockey League, in my opinion, has done nothing short of remarkable here. The job they have, the leadership have done, and the leadership to not only get this off the ground, but create that atmosphere for our great fans that are going to be watching on TV, from what I've seen so far in just the exhibition games. But the players, yes, they will be able to get ramped up, but it's still not quite the same for a player without our great fans in the stands. But they will be competing just as hard. Everybody's healthy, fired up, and ready to go. So I can't wait. I think this is as intriguing and interesting a playoff as we're ever going to see, and we'll be talking about them for a long time.
Speaking with Ken Danico here, Ken of the NHL Network, one of the things that made you guys so special, and maybe the biggest reason, was that guy, Marty Brodeur, the best goaltender I've certainly ever watched the entire career of. We're looking at Carter Hart, and I'm certainly not going to ask you for a comparison here, but what do you like about Carter Hart in net?
For me, goaltending and seeing a young Marty Brodeur, I've been 11 years in the league, and when he came in, and I see similarities in Hart in one area, and that's even keeled, balanced. Let in a bad goal or have a bad period. And the goaltender has to be your calmest guy on the ice as far as showing confidence to guys in front of him. It's the most important position. We know that. And it's consistency. So at a young age here, that's what you're seeing from Carter Hart. He's quick, too. Terrific glove. You know, all the athleticism that Broder had. It was a little unorthodox style, but it was his athleticism and his mindset. Goaltending's mindset where you just don't let things get to you at times, whether, like I said, a bad goal or whatever. You got to be that guy. You're kind of like that general in that you are calm, cool, collected. And believe me, it's a domino effect throughout your lineup. And that's what Broder really brought to us, besides the consistency and passing ability and handling the puck and everything. And Hart has those kind of traits. I believe it. So it'll be interesting to see, but you got to get your feet wet in the playoffs and we'll see how it goes for him. And you've got a real good, capable backup and veteran in Elliott. But I'd have a lot of confidence, Hart. I don't care the age. I don't care who you are. If you got it, you got it. We saw that early in Brodeur's career, and I would assume you're going to see that from Carter Hart. He's not going to beat you. He's going to be that guy that's going to win you some hockey games, and you have to have your goaltender steal you a game when maybe you're not at your best. But more importantly, just consistency, because, again, Flyers play like a team now, and that's the biggest difference I've seen. I kind of went wow in midseason watching them play against the Devils, and I do the Devils games, I'm going, this ain't the Flyer team I've seen in the past. Good teams in the past, but this is a team. They're more together. They're more structured. They play the game the way you need to play it to go deep in the playoffs. And again, that's a lot to do with Elaine Vigneault and bringing that structure and belief.
Ken, when you face a goalie that gets hot in the playoffs or is just really good like Marty Brodeur was, but when you're facing a goalie that is just a wall in a playoff series, how much frustration builds up and how does it change the way you approach playing against that guy?
Yeah, you can get frustrated. Goaltenders can frustrate your team all the time, right? But again, that's about the emotion. It's about your leadership up top, the coach, your top players have to be even keeled, and you can't get frustrated. You have to find a way. You play the game simple. You change it up. You have to get more traffic in front, whatever, all those cliche terms. But they ring true. And again, it's not, if you start cheating, if you start getting caught because you're pressing too much, now you're giving up 2-on-1s. And before you know it, you're down 3-0. If you're down 1-0 or 2-1, you can't beat a goaltender that's got your number or hot. It's about getting back to simplicity. And again, that's where I love coaches. And we had Jacques Lemaire, very similar. Everybody thought, you know, we're such a defensive structured team because we had good defense and an all-world goaltender. But most of our teams, if you look at every Stanley Cup championship team, we were one of the highest scoring teams in the league. Nobody in the media seems to bring that up because we were so stifling defensively, but it was a counterattack. So my point of that is, and we had Jacques Lemaire. If a team was frustrating us and we couldn't score, Lemaire had been there, done that, knew, and Larry Robinson had to bring it back to us where that you don't show that frustration. You know, these guys had won multiple rings in so many capacities with the Montreal Canadiens that it starts to rub off. And I think so far, even though Vigneault hasn't won a cup yet, but he's been a very successful coach in this league, you know, his message has rubbed off, and these guys will be even killed, even if you do get frustrated and don't score. Because you got to be able to win games 2-1 in the playoffs, 1-0, don't care what era, or you got to be able to win 6-5. And you'll have success, and that's kind of where I think the Flyers are at right now with a lot of the top teams like Tampa Bay's and Boston's in the East and Washington Capitals.
Ken Danico, it has been an absolute pleasure speaking with you this morning. You got the NHL Network's extensive playoff coverage, like I said, which includes NHL Tonight, 7 qualifying round games as well, beginning this Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time with the Blue Jackets at Maple Leafs. Ken, great talking to you, man. Thanks so much for coming on with us.
My pleasure, guys. Really looking forward to the playoffs. Enjoy it, and tell the Flyers not to let me down. I want to look good here.
You got it.
Ken, we'll do our best. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Ken.
Take it easy, fellas.
Back at you, man. Like I said, I that was my Flyers era.
Yeah, me too. Who did you hate the most on that? Those?
Scott Stevens. I just hated Scott Stevens.
Stevens was one. I mean, he was the obvious guy, right?
Well, Danico was like this guy that wouldn't score, but he would always, like, he always came up with a hustle play.
Yeah.
I remember, like, in the late 80s.
He was a guy that you liked. I'm sorry, real quick. Yeah, he was a guy that you liked even though you hated them.
He's like, oh, if he's on your team, you like him.
Exactly.
So I guess you put that to respect. And I told him, I was honest. I had the respect there. I hated the Devils team.
Claude Lemieux comes to mind as hate.
Oh, Claude Lemieux was, like, number one almost. But for some reason, I don't know why, Scotty Gomez, I could not stand.
Really?
He came on the ice and I wanted to like jump out there, even though I don't know how to skate and he probably would have kicked my ass, but I wanted to go out there and hit him. Like, I did. Yeah. I wanted to be that fan that climbed over and got on the ice in my sneakers and just hunted him down.
The Alaskan assassin, if I'm not mistaken? Scotty Gomez from Alaska.
God, those, you know, we talk about the teams that, so the Cowboys are yours, your biggest rival that you hate.
Me?
Yes,
no,
personally.
Penguins.
Oh, Penguins. Yeah, I'm sorry, you said Penguins and Cowboys.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went, I'll tell you what, mine are the Celtics, obviously, but man, the Devils are up there.
Oh,
from the time you're talking about. You know, it was like that nothing team that just, like, won cups.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting around saying, you know, I was in the profession at the time, so I wasn't really cheering, but it was like, how the hell is this team in New Jersey winning Stanley Cups, and the Flyers haven't gotten one since 75?
Well, they had, again, and I say this without any doubt, the best goaltender I ever saw.
Tim Dominic Hasek at that time also was right up there, right?
Yeah, he was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he wasn't winning three Stanley Cups.
No. I hear you. But as far as, during your lifetime, you're right. Brodeur probably is the all-time great. Like, Patrick Waugh, it was a little bit before you. Like, I caught him when I was a kid and then saw his whole career. He was really good. Mm-hmm. Bernie was the most fascinating goalie I ever saw. Mm-hmm. The way, if you could watch highlights of him, the way he made saves. Nobody makes saves like the way Bernie did. I don't know if he was out of position and just had great flexibility. You'll never see anybody make a kick save like Bernie Perron did. Ever, never, never. And he did it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's... That's when you brought that up, that Brodeur, my mind kind of started racing, like, who are the greatest goalies I've ever seen?
Brodeur is the guy from start to finish of a career.
Hasek right up there, too.
Hasek, because the Sabres also took it to the Flyers plenty of times.
Yeah.
I just hate, I mean, you talk about the...
And then he went to the Red Wings, right?
Yeah.
And so he did win a... Did he win a cup there? I don't know. Yeah.
It's not jumping. It's he not did. Jumping to mind.
Our hockey expert over there just stood with up. The, I think he stood up.
With the Red Wings?
Yes.
Okay. That's just great.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think he won the one, maybe. But, it's watching that Devils team play in the late 90s and early 2000s was just infuriating as a Flyers fan. But what did I say before we talked to Ken Danico? Now, we all knew he was hot. We knew he liked the Flyers. I didn't know he liked the Flyers to go to the Stanley Cup and end the drought.
Mm. Right.
A former Devils telling you that. And by the way, I was a little surprised that his go-to moment with the Flyers was the Eric Lindros hit.
That's a tough one to forget.
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised at that. What I was surprised at was that he said at the time, he was like, oh, damn.
But then he felt bad?
Because I said to you guys during the break, I was in the newspaper business then, and watching that triggered the most emotion that I've had watching a game, maybe that I can remember since being in the profession. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that I was like...
Because you knew it was...
Oh, my God.
He knew where he was with concussions.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I was sad. It was sad. And Eddie Barkowitz, who we had on yesterday and who I was working with at the time, I turned to him right away and said, oh, my God, Lindros is never going to play for the Flyers again. I don't know why it came out of my mouth, but it triggered such emotion in me to watch a great player... And you knew it was kind of over right then.
Mm.
That was tough. And then for Danico to say, man, I didn't like that.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, and legal hit at the time, you know, and that kind of thing. And he was just like, that was kind of applauded at the time. It wasn't in Philly, that's for damn sure.
No.
But maybe with the Devils it was. But like when I watched that play, it was a very real moment when that happened. And I remember I was in, I think I was a senior in high school.
It was a Friday night.
Yeah. And I remember watching that, and it was like sports were real. Like, it went from like, oh, this is an athlete, somebody I'll never meet, whatever, and, you know, the superstar guy like Eric Lindros, and he's just coming back, and he's just laying there on the ice, and he's not moving.
Yeah, I don't know why, but it's still, thinking back, I know exactly, Eddie and I were in the office, I know exactly where we were, what we were doing. It really sat with me, and it hit me that night. And I'm like, wow, this is bad.
Scott Stevens crushed him. And Danico obviously was a defenseman for the Devils at the time. And for him to say, yeah, it was kind of like an uncomfortable thing at the moment. It's like, okay, at least those guys were human, even though I hated them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Claude Lemieux can't convince me he was human.
Nah, he's just... Him and Ty Domi. Two guys you just wanted to.
But Domi's actually cool. He's like made a relationship with that guy.
Yeah, the guy that fell into the box when, yeah. when he was with
and
the,
his kid
Maple
plays
Leafs.
Now. Yeah, his kid's in the NHL now.
You know what's funny about that? I remember when that happened, when that went down with the guy falling in, who's, you know, it was at a Flyers game. He's befriended that guy.
Yeah, they've like gone to games in Toronto together and stuff.
But I remember shortly thereafter, maybe a couple of years maybe later, he elbowed that other player in the head and like knocked him out. Like sucker elbowed him.
Mm.
And had to sit and was suspended a number of games. And I remember him saying, the hardest thing about this is having to go home and tell my son why I'm not playing.
And that'll
now,
hit you.
And now his son's playing.
Yeah.
Like I just thought about that and I was like, damn, I'm old. Well, this sucks. But anyway, Happy New Year, folks. 610-632-0975. Hey, guess what? We're going to talk some 76ers coming up at 8:30 today with our friend Devon Gibbons. He's also going to give us his New Year's resolution. Here's what we got going on, folks. It is the 2020 2.0 show happening today. Thanks to our good friends at Yakabushi Formal Wear. They have us in tuxes. Folks, so if you're on Twitch, you want to get on Twitch, you can watch it. You can see us in our tuxes today. Miller High Life has given us 40s. That's my 40, Bob.
There it is.
That's going to get cracked open at 9 o'clock today when the New Year
You better
ball.
Put it in the refrigerator. I'll put it in for you though on the break. You don't want to drink it warm. I mean, it is a champagne of beer, so it tastes good no matter what. But it might taste a little better if it has a little chill on
you
it.
You make a fine point, Bob.
Okay.
So we got that going on. We got her snack trucks we're giving away here. We got two Union jerseys we still have to give away. We got another case of beer from Miller High Life that we want to give away, along with a cooler as well. We're looking for your sports resolutions. We got a first time wide open board for you. If you want to get in, now's a good time for you. Just give us your sports New Year's resolution. All the ones that we're taking into consideration today will be a finalist to win the slingshot from the stuff that we're giving away today is just off the charts. Absolutely amazing. Here's the deal. People that submitted their New Year's resolutions on our 975thefanatic.com webpage, they're in the running for a 24-hour rental with a McLaren 570S convertible from Imagine Lifestyles Luxury Rentals. Visit ImagineLifestyles.com. Also, one lucky person that calls in today, we're going to put you in the running for our 24-hour rental of a slingshot, courtesy of Philly Slingshot Rental. If you haven't seen these mobiles, they're incredible.
They are unbelievable.
One wheel in the front, two wheels in the back. You cruise around Philly and those things got to be incredible. So we're giving that away as well. When we return, Devon Gibbons will join us. We'll also have all the takes later in that segment as well. Time of the Fanatic, 8:23.
The final 22 teams are getting ready to get back on the court. It started last night, and there's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the top-rated sportsbook app. To celebrate the return of basketball, this is a great promotion. DraftKings is giving all users a special odds boost for the first 3 days of the season. Bet $20 to win $100 on any team of your choosing. I put mine in today. I got the team in Brooklyn. Let's hope they cash that for me. Taking advantage of these slam dunk offers is easy. All you have to do is sign up, navigate to the promotions tab within the app, download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app, and use code FANATIC when you sign up. For a limited time, all users can get that special odds boost from $20 to win $100 on the team of your choosing. That's code FANATIC, and boost your odds from $20 to win $100. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Other terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Farsetta in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
Is there a movie that jumps to mind, Bob, when you think of New Year's Eve? Is there one movie that jumps
yes.
to mind? There's one movie that jumps to my mind.
Really?
Yes. What's the movie that jumps to your mind when you think of New Year's Eve?
It's a Wonderful Life. I know it's a Christmas movie,
really?
But when everything does, yeah, they sing Auld Lang Syne at the end. What's
okay.
yours?
When Harry Met Sally.
Right? Yeah.
I know you're an American male. You better have seen that movie.
No, it didn't do it for you? Nah.
I'm amazed.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorite all-time movies.
Is it really?
Okay,
yeah, I can see that because I think it's kind of a girl movie. But yeah,
it's not a girl movie.
I didn't love it.
No,
that's astonishing. I mean, the deli scene was great. All that.
I thought Billy Crystal was just hilarious in the movie in general.
Yeah, I don't like these mopey males. I don't like that.
But throughout the movie, he's not really mopey as much as he is depressed.
Okay. So I put it mildly. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't like depressed individuals.
No, but I think the movie's hilarious. One of my favorite all-time movies. And there's a great New Year's Eve. There's a couple great New Year's Eve scenes in that movie.
So they kiss on New Year's Eve, right? Or are they? They're not together on New Year's.
I don't want to ruin it for someone.
Yeah, it only came out 30 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's 1989.
Yeah.
When Harry Met Sally. But no, and Sinatra's got a great little ballad in it. He's got his version of It Had to Be You
right
towards the end of the movie,
right,
which is just wonderfully done, of course. But yeah, that's a movie. I think, Jamie, New Year's Eve movie?
Not a ton come to mind, but
there's not a lot out there.
Yeah, when Harry, which is kind of weird. You would think there'd be more, but I guess Harry Met Sally is the big one.
That's the one I go to.
He took one of the Mount Rushmores off the board. Nice work.
Way to go, Mark.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a 76ers game going on. That's happening tomorrow night right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. But you know what? Before we go to our next guest, Devon Givens here, for his new New Year's sports resolution, I do want to tell you that we have food here provided today. My stomach was growling a little bit. I was like, wait a minute. We got Anna's Corner Store here, a real Philly deli carrying Dietz and Watson premium meats and artisan cheeses at the corner of North Wales and Township Line Roads in East Norton. I just enjoyed myself a nice hoagie back there.
I had one earlier.
Treating myself. They got a whole thing of pickles as well. They got the pickle sandwich.
I've never, ever, ever seen the pickle sandwich until about an hour ago.
I had not seen it in person.
So, have you heard of it?
Oh, I've heard of it.
Have you ever? Jamie's the food connoisseur here. Have you ever had it?
I have not had it.
All right. So it's a, we have to describe it.
Well, it's a pickle, a big old pickle, cut in half as if it's a, you know, a bun with hoagie fillings.
In the middle. Basically. So it acts as the bread.
Yeah, correct.
Yes.
I don't trust myself in a tuxedo that I'm renting.
Yeah.
To bite into that right now.
No.
I had other things from Anna's Corner Store, and it was delicious.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, and they also got cookies, and I'll have all those.
Yeah, I don't do sweets.
More for me. Yes. Let's get to our friend Devon Givens joining us right now. What's up, Devon?
Good morning. What's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, Happy New Year,
yeah, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Devon joining us here on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Oh, here's another great New Year's. Lieutenant Dan at Forrest Gump. Chris Curl sends us that, so we appreciate it. Devon, the wait will officially be ended tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sixers back in action. How excited are you?
Oh, I'm excited. I can't wait for them to get back out there on the floor, see a little Joel Embiid in their lineup as well with the other four starters. I play against the Indiana Pacers team that is very well coached, a tough squad that now has Victor Oladipo back, but it is also intriguing with Domantas Sabonis still out. So, or at least that's the last time I checked if he was still out. So Sixers should take care of business tomorrow in game number one. So, yeah, I'm thrilled. Looking forward to it.
Where are you at in terms of who you want to see in the first round of the playoffs? Do you want to see Miami? Do you want to see the Pacers? Do you want to see the Celtics? Who do you want to see?
If you look at it, I mean, there are two different scenarios. Of course, if you go Miami, Milwaukee, get them out of the way in the second round and then take your chances against Toronto or Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals, then you lean that way. But if you prefer to see the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals and go through Milwaukee and Toronto in round one, the semis, and then meet Milwaukee, then you go that route. Mark, I really don't have a preference at this point because, listen, they've beaten everybody. You're on this neutral floor. Go out there and just go hoop and let's see what happens. You're not good enough in either scenario to choose a team. You've lost to the Miami Heat. You've lost to the Toronto Raptors. You've lost to the Boston Celtics, although you took down the 3-1 series. But this is the playoffs. And Brad Stevens has shown to have the edge over Brett Brown in the playoffs. Their one series that they matched up in 2017-18. And I think they can beat any of these teams, but that's the whole thing about this team all season long is I think because 29-2 versus 10-24, right? We don't know why they are so different home and away. So I think they can win in either way, but I mean, they're just not good enough to choose an opponent at this point.
All right, I'm in the same boat as you. Like, I look at this, me personally, I'm like, I think it's a second round exit at best, but I'm optimistic enough to think, okay, if this thing happens in particular, this will propel them to be a much better team than I saw at the break. What would you need to see to be convinced that this team can get out of that second round?
The defense has to sustain throughout the entire time, and that will be led by Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. And, of course, Matisse Thybulle comes in off the bench, Al Horford as well, Josh Richardson in the starting lineup, and provide some defensive effort that is going to be very strong. This is what they talked about. Smash mouth offense, bully ball defense, and a playoff team that is built the way that they are for this moment. So I think the defense, which we have seen thus far, has to stand out for them to propel them further in the playoffs than we have seen in the past. And the other thing that I would put number two, but I mean, you could probably put it 1A and 1B, is really Simmons and Embiid playing at all NBA and all-star level together in the postseason, which we have not seen that yet in the two playoff appearances that they've had in the past two seasons. So defense, Simmons and Embiid, as it always is for me, but offensively, those guys have to give it like they have during the regular season when we've seen them play well together.
Devon, how would you handle these eight games going into the playoffs? Because I've heard that some people think that Brett Brown might handle it as, you know, just keep guys healthy, build up minutes, look at some things, but then get to the playoffs and go. My feeling is I think you should amp it up now. You haven't had the starting five together. How do you feel they should handle these eight games leading into the playoffs?
I agree with you 100%. You have a few minutes from the first scrimmage, the practice sessions that they've had, and that's it. So you do now need to get those minutes in for the starting five. You do need to develop the rotation. And Brett, in this case, once again, they are not good enough, Bob, to choose an opponent and choose how they want to go in here. This is not a 3-seed Sixers team that we've seen the past 2 years. This is a 6-seed team that we expected a lot from. And they've disappointed on the road thus far. So I don't think they're good enough to make that decision. I think that for them going into the actual playoffs with this 8 seeding games that they have, go in there with some momentum. And hopefully that momentum can carry them through some wins in the postseason like we saw in 2017-18, where they won those, 16 games in the regular season?
Right.
The first one when they played the Miami Heat in game number one, 17 total. That's what you want to see. You want to have that momentum going into the first round of the playoffs, especially now that you are a 6-seed, and it is a guarantee that you are going to play a very good team in either Miami, Boston, or Indiana. Go out there and play to win. All of that stuff will play itself out, and I cannot stress enough, you're just not good enough to make a decision on how you want to go in there and act as if you're just going to walk on the floor and beat anyone.
Speaking with our own Devon Givens, now I know we'll talk to you throughout the NBA playoffs and the resumption of the 8-game seeding period and all that. But Devon, now before we let you go right here, what is your New Year's sports resolution?
So I'll keep it Eagles-centric on this one.
Ooh.
Because we look at them and we hope the NFL plays in general. But let's assume that they will play and they'll find a way to get it done. I have a thing about Derek Barnett that he annoys me. Because as a top pick to be the next future edge rusher for the Philadelphia Eagles, and all they've done in this case is go out and get Chris Long and bring back Vinny Curry and give him the opportunity to really step up and elevate his game and be the man on the edge. And while he did give you 6.5 sacks last year, he does some things that hurries to get to the quarterback. But hurries are great. I get it. Sacks are better. Not getting stupid penalties now where you probably have developed a reputation isn't simply not been good enough, in my opinion. And they do not have enough on the edge outside of he and Brandon Graham for him not to step up and be a very good player for this football team along that defensive front that is now a monster in the middle. And as Barrett Brooks liked to say, you can even kick Malik Jackson out to the left side to help out with that rotation. I'm going to try my best with this New Year's resolution to lay off of Derek Barnett, allow him to come out and be the starter, and see what he does, see if he improves on his decision-making and not take these silly late hits. So my New Year's resolution is to give Derek Barnett more of a chance, before I explode later on.
Devon, we appreciate you joining us. Once again, happy new year. Happy 2022.0, my friend.
Same to you guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Happy new year, buddy.
Devon Gibbons joining us right there. Our own Devon Gibbons. We're going to have an abridged take segment real quick. Give me like a couple of takes here there, Pat Egan. What do you got?
Hurry up, Pat. Go.
Hello. The Phillies will not play until Tuesday at the earliest when they head to Miami to get revenge on Miguel Rojas, MD, and the COVID boys. If that actually happens, then the Phillies will play 57 games in 56 days. Your thoughts? Quickly.
MLB's stupid.
Yep, it is. Okay, Lee is supposed to announce today that doubleheaders will be 7 innings, something most players are already used to, because to do that, they do it in the minors. Yeah. Your thoughts?
Don't care.
Yeah,
baseball,
neither.
Do whatever you want.
Yes. Yeah, don't care. Kind of stupid. Whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Guess what? Hockey and
guys,
basketball.
No, we're moving. We're moving. Right, LeSean McCoy agreed to a deal with the Bucks. Your thoughts?
They're old. Good move.
Good move.
Good move.
For him,
my only issue was the way Drew Rosenhaus said another Super Bowl. It was like easy on that.
Yeah, that was dumb. Yeah, but good move by DeSean and the Bucks.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. NBA restarted last night, and the NBA is doing this virtual fan thing. And let's just say it was thin in New Orleans. Also, Chris Bosh checked in during the Lakers game. Your thoughts?
I'm fine with it.
I love that.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. I will say this real quick about Shady. One of my favorite things tweeted in response to that news breaking with Shady McCoy signing was that, you know, the Buccaneers are not going to get coronavirus because they all washed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. What else you got?
I don't get it.
All right.
We're moving on. Doesn't matter. On this date in history, the Phillies officially became sellers in 2012, sending Shane Victorino to the Dodgers, Hunter Pence to the Giants. They haven't been contenders since. Your thoughts?
That hurt. It's been bad. It's been really bad, Pat.
Don't worry, though. They got Tommy Joseph in the deal.
Yes, they did.
And Seth Rosin.
He's still going to pan out.
He will. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll work. In Korea. All right. Goodbye.
All right. Thank you very much.
Go put on a diaper.
When we come back, we count it down to the new year, 2022.0.
I love that kid.
Here on 97.5, The Fanatic. But ladies and gentlemen, you know what? As we've been talking about, sports finally back. I'm so excited. Basketball and hockey this weekend. And like you, I love all the hometown teams, which is why I bet with the hometown team, Parks Casino and Sportsbook, where I have the home field advantage. When it comes to sports betting, my guys, my team at Parks Casino Sportsbook, right in Bucks County. That means your action and your money are safe and secure on their easy-to-use sports betting app. Right here, the easy-to-use sports betting app in Bucks County. Just a great one, I got to tell you that. Number one casino in all of Pennsylvania, by the way. Look, you don't have to leave your money or trust your money to some overseas faceless company. You don't got to do that. Just trust Parks Casino right in your backyard. Just go with my guys and my team at Parks Casino and Sportsbook, the hometown team. Sign up now and get a risk-free bet from up to $500. Yeah, $500. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA. That's P-A-R-X casino.com/PA and use promo code FANATIC to get your risk-free bet up to $500. Their website has all the details. Your risk-free bet is refunded on your loss as a free bet. You must be 21 or older and in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Farsetti in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Happy New Year, everybody. It's going to be Happy New Year in about 5 minutes here. We turn the page to 2022.0. I'll have a little toast. We'll have a little parade. People can watch us on Twitch. We have our own version of the Winter Classic. We got our Miller High Life 40s. By the way, in the next hour, we're going to be giving away another case of Miller High Life and a cooler. All right?
Those coolers are sweet.
We're also going to be giving away Hers Potato Chip Snack Trucks. How awesome are them, Johns? Am I right?
Nice.
We got those we're giving away. We got the Philadelphia Union customized jerseys to give away. We're going to be joined by Kevin Harlan in about 10 minutes. He's calling a lot of the action down there in the Orlando bubble. So we'll talk to him about all things basketball in a little bit. Natalie Aganoff will join us as well from the Mike Misnelli program to give her sports resolution. We'll be giving away some great stuff. And it's a great day for us because we're turning the page on 2020. everyone to a man has said at some point over the last really 4 to 5 months, well, 2020 sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, we obviously, one of the first things was Kobe, the awful yep. things with Kobe Bryant passing away. Absolutely. Yeah. Then you also look at what happened with, we had coronavirus. We had the Astros cheating scandal. Not that that's on the same level of severity. Coronavirus, obviously. Think about all the people that have worked their asses off in our healthcare system.
Yeah.
And it's put in all that work. You know what? We got our Flyers back here on the Fanatic. We got our Sixers back here on the Fanatic. We're celebrating the return of live play-by-play action on 97.5 The Fanatic. So that means for us, the new year is beginning. Now, we don't control the hands of time, Bob. I don't know if you know that. Now, there's many other things that we control, but we don't control the hands of time. So we can't say that it's 2021.
No.
We can only say that it's 2022.0.
And you know why I'm wearing sunglasses right now, Mark? I know you're giving me weird looks. You know why?
Why?
I want to tell you why.
Please
exactly.
Please do. Please do.
Because the future, which starts today in 3 minutes, of Philadelphia sports is so bright,
uh-huh.
I have to wear shades.
Yeah, I wear shades.
There it is.
Future's so bright.
I feel long, long, long playoff runs coming from both the Flyers and Sixers. And I'm really not kidding. I really do think that both of them are going to do really well in the playoffs.
Okay, there you go. I like that.
Well, the most Philadelphia thing in the world would be winning during this.
Yeah,
sure.
But guess what?
I don't care.
Giannis Antetokounmpo already said this is probably the hardest championship to win.
I agree.
Oh, yeah. You know what? No bitching and complaining when it's all done and you lose, sir. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I agree with him. It's going to take a special something to get this one done.
Somebody had a great line the other day saying, no, you don't put an asterisk next to this if somebody wins a championship. You put an exclamation point because that's how hard it is.
And we already heard from Ken Danico a second ago that Carter Hart, I think I heard him right, Carter Hart is Marty Brodeur.
Oh, yeah. He said the next cover
I think
Marty
he's
Brodeur.
Better than Marty Brodeur is what
that's
he
what
said.
That's what he said. That was a direct quote, I believe.
I might have heard him wrong.
Yeah.
I have a 40 in my other hand.
That's
so
true.
Who really knows what's what? You know what I'm saying? What's up, what's down? I don't even know.
Did you open yours?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I got to open.
You handed me my 40.
I did. I put it in the refrigerator for you.
I haven't taken a sip.
All right. I'm going to pour mine into my cup.
You're not drinking right from the 40?
I don't. Okay.
No, you can't pour a 40 in a cup.
What,
an animal?
Yeah, I understand it's called the champagne of beers.
I didn't know there was 40 rules.
There's rules.
Well, then go get me a paper bag then.
Bob, can you follow proper 40 etiquette,
my
please?
My fault. I haven't had a 40 with a bow tie on lately, so
I haven't had a 40 while not sitting on my stoop or step in I don't know how long, put it that way. But guess what's coming up? We got our own little New Year's Day parade going on with Baby New Year. We also have Jackie Bam Bam, our good friend from WMMR. He's helping us out with this. He's a real live mummer. So he's going to be dressed to the nines going down City Avenue. So if you're going down City Avenue, make sure you check out our two-man parade as we're going down City Ave. About a half hour through this, 9:30 today, we'll have our own version of the Winter Classic. Because what is a New Year's Day without a Winter Classic?
Good point.
Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse is going to be helping us out. Always on top, by the way. Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse, our good friends Mia and Brooke will be standing by in about 30 minutes with our own version of the Winter Classic as they play a little knee hockey in their apartment. How exciting is that, Bob?
Very.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.